Welcome to All Learning Reimagined, the podcast that defines convention and redefines the purpose and practice of education. Here we venture beyond institutional boundaries to explore visionary ideas, transformative narratives, and pioneering voices shaping a future rooted in self-directed, heart-led learning. Whether you're a parent, educator, or curious mind devoted to lifelong growth, this is your space to challenge assumptions and co-create a more humane and intuitive approach to education. We believe that learning is a natural act. Together, we'll uncover stories, cultivate wisdom, and engage with practices that empower learning as an organic, soulful journey. Let's reimagine what education can be.
Oh, you can't not laugh at that. Hey, 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 everybody. G'day to our first show, first ever show, my goodness, to All Learning Reimagined. And that's where passion meets possibility, one inspired story at a time. So I'm your host, Teresa, and I'm going to bring you a little ray of sunshine as we're reimagining the future of education together. So as you've probably spotted, I do have an Aussie accent. So yes, I'm in sunny Australia, and I know this is going out to many different countries. So I'm going to try really hard not to talk too quickly because I get very excited. And I know, well, I've been teaching and leading in for over 30 years here in Australia. But when I did work for a couple of years in London, there were quite a few people there that really struggled with my accent because I can be quite ochre sometimes. So if you know what I mean. So I will try to do the best I can with not talking quickly. Today, it's just me. I don't have a guest today. I thought we'd set up the show. I am going to tell you a story and really unpack it for you and set up the vision for what this podcast is actually about. And so it's just me talking to myself today, which is pretty much just another Saturday when you feel about it. The only other thing you really probably need to know about me is that I have championed children my whole life. So children are my why, they're my passion. I love coaching and I love mentoring adults, but it's the learning environments and how we champion our children. That's the reason, that's what led me to being here today, pretty much. Ironically, I used to teach at a distance education literally last century in the Australian outback, and it was School of the Air, so we were teaching children over the radio, and one of my work colleagues there actually did say, oh my gosh, you should have a radio station. And here I am 25 years later, 27 years later, on my first show. How exciting is that? That's pretty cool. The show's not about me. Basically, the purpose is each episode, I want to be able to bring on guest speakers and share tools and tips and intuitive approaches on going back to the basics. I mean, gosh, guys, let's get back to common sense, connecting with nature, the intuitive approaches to living our learning experiences. I mean, let's face it, we don't have to be in an environment with four walls in able to be able to learn. If you're sitting and reading a bedtime story with your children or playing backyard cricket with the grandkids, there's a lot of different things you can learn just by living life. And I feel like somehow we, you know, the wheels have come off and we've forgotten that. But that whole alignment to our natural curiosity and our inner knowing is pretty much what I would like to bring to this show. Have different people who are educators or parents or visionaries, the change makers who are living examples of heart-centered, practical approaches to education. And I'll be interviewing them and getting them to share their story and to inspire everybody of the amazing things that are going on in the world. I know that there are a lot of things that are not so right in many education settings. And that I'm just putting a pin in that to the side. That's not what this space is about. This space is about inspiring people and sharing the magnificent things that are already happening all across the globe. Every day, there are amazing opportunities, learning environments, programs, things that people are doing, ordinary, everyday life people are doing, and it's time to get there. To get their stories out there to inspire people to know that there are different ways of doing things. And shout out to my two Scottish professors who already emailed me calling into the show. So, I mean, that sounds like a bit of a joke. An Aussie and two Scottish professors walk into a bar. I can just imagine that interview. It's going to be fun. So, I will get back to you guys. Can't wait. It'll be good. So today I'm going to actually tell you a childhood story. And while many people probably haven't been to Australia, I will sort of unpack and set the scene. And I do, trust me, I'll come full circle and I'll come back to the reason why I'm explaining the story and why I've decided to tell it today. In order to shift gears to do that, though, fun fact about me, I'm one of the last generations who grew up without any internet. I know, shock horror. I mean, I had no remote control on my TV. We had to complain about who was going to get up and actually press the button of the two channels that we had on the television when I was a child, so that we could watch, the Goodies or Monkey Magic or Doctor Who, whatever TV show we were watching. And I spent a childhood, and I had amazing childhood, really always outside, always playing, always having to play and connect with the children in the and not stuck on a device, which is something that we have, I've noticed, well, I'm sure you've noticed too, is part of our reality today. And it's really rewiring our brains differently and our children and our grandchildren's brains differently today, to the childhood that I had when I grew up. And I'm sure many listeners feel the same way. So if that resonates with you, just reflect on the types of things that you did as a child in your imagination and world when you were playing. It was a pretty special time, and it's something that I'm really keen for us to encourage and get back to, basically, which leads me to my story. I am the eldest of five children, so I'm actually a little bit bossy, in case you probably haven't noticed. And I have natural leadership skills because of that. But my brother and I used to explore our little beachside town. So I was a little beach shack right on the beach in a little bay, and on either sides of the bay were sort of like bluffs, like a cliff. No walkways, no tracks, just covered in sort of vegetation life. I mean, this was Australia, so lots of spiders and snakes and green ants and bull ant nests and curlew birds, wallabies, rock wallabies, that sort of stuff. And we had the pleasure or the privilege of being able to use this as our playground. It was pretty much our own little universe. And when I was about, I don't know, 9 or 10, and he was a year younger than me, our parents would slather us in sunscreen as soon as the sun came up and say, "Go frolic. Off you go and frolic." And we would. We would go swimming and surfing. And when the tide went out in this little beachside town, the tide would go right out and you'd walk. It felt like for miles. And sometimes when it went right out, you could see coral and you could pick up the little feather starfish and put them back in the water. We would chase soldier crabs that were sort of marching across the sand and bury themselves before we could catch up to them. And you couldn't get around the bluff onto the neighboring beaches unless the tide was right out. And my brother and I would go and explore and play in this environment almost every weekend we were there. It was pretty magical. It was very magical. My brother, however, is the complete opposite to me. So while I love to read, I always had my head in a book. I loved to talk and talk and talk. No surprise there. And sing, of course. I love singing. He was pretty much a regular Crocodile Dundee kid. Let's just say he loved to get up close with the wildlife. And I don't know how many times that I would be saying, "Mom, there's a snake in the bathtub again. because he'd gone and found a python or crawchies or some mud crabs, and he decided to put it in the bathtub as a child, and we'd have to scrub the bath before I could go and have my bath because he had decided to bring the nature home, of course, because he wanted everything to be a pet because he loved animals. He was a really a boy of action, loved risk-taking, fiercely loyal, and probably what teachers would say, a child that has spirit. Let's just put it like that. So I was the goody two-shoes that was always conscientious, up for an adventure, loved a laugh, and he was the risk taker that just loved that nature. And the two of us together as a combination, as childhood friends who would play with the neighborhood kids in this beach environment, the adventures that we had, you could just make movies about. It was amazing. The little town had one shop and one pub. So that probably gives you an indication. And when we went adventuring, we didn't really come home until it was dark, or sometimes we would just go back to the beach house, have a big drink of water out of the garden hose because no air conditioning, and we didn't want to go inside the house. We were covered in sand, and then we'd go off again. So it was a really freeing childhood because we were quite self-directed. And in this environment, we didn't have tests. We didn't have four walls. We didn't have an adult telling us and directing us what to do. Go back to common sense to stay alive, because let's face it, if you see a tired coastal, you don't have to run home and then ask your parents what you need to do about that. You had to really be on your feet to know what you're doing and supporting each other. And be that self-directed and solve our own problems. And there was this one weekend when we decided to bring a friend along on our adventures. He came down and stayed at the beach with us. And I'm not going to use his real name, but I'm just going to call him Ning. So Ning came from a bit of a well-to-do family, and Ning liked to holiday in resorts. So he had not had experience like we had, endurance for that matter, of just going and going and going all day. So swimming and walking and trekking and climbing mountains and doing all of those sorts of things. And I remember this one weekend, in hindsight, gosh, I really feel sorry for him, because we just dragged him along with us everywhere we went. And at the time, at that age, I didn't understand that he was seeing everything from a different perspective. But everywhere we went, Ning would say, "I'm tired. Can we just sit and rest?" Or, "I'm hungry. Can we just go back? I just want to go back. Can we just sit? Can we just stop?" And it felt like everything that we did and everything that we saw, all he saw were obstacles. Everything was an obstacle. And I do realize now that he was probably in fight or flight in some situations, because we did climb a lot of, cliff faces and do a lot of things. So he was probably in that, staying alive, that sort of environment. Whereas my brother and I were born free, adventuring, and his perspective was very different. So where my brother and I were seeing adventure and opportunity, Ning was seeing obstacles. And that is a really big point that I will actually want to make today, that today a lot of our children see obstacles. A lot of our parents and educators see obstacles versus many of them who are seeing opportunities and adventure and nature and just that connection to play. And the difference that I can tell in my life and in my little world and environment that I'm seeing right now is that back then, we really lived in the now. We were living in the present moment. We weren't anxious about the future. We weren't depressed about the past. We were just so busy living in the now when we were playing. Our hearts were absolutely guiding us, and we were just not in our headspace. Versus a lot of the children that I see today who don't know how to do that, that I don't know if they've had the opportunity or the experience to really just live in that imagination and have that freedom. And being of one of the generations that grew up without the internet, I feel really privileged about that. As much as technology is incredible, it brings a lot to the table, I will say that. It certainly makes life a lot easier in many different ways. I do lament about that missed opportunity for a lot of our children to step back from technology and consuming technology that's basically programming them and telling them what to think or showing them through visuals, and they're not getting to use their imagination. So you can learn anywhere, not just in four walls, as I've mentioned before, but we were living the learning. And that is something I'm very passionate about. And I know a lot of people I've met over the last few years, particularly in lots of different countries, that also feel passionate about this living learning. You know, going out and exploring, having experiences, and then expressing yourself, learning how to express yourself. So exploring, experience, and expressing to go and live our learning, living in the now, following your heart space, connecting to nature, going back to common sense. This is something that I really took for granted as a child. I didn't know at the time. But we had such incredible opportunities. And Ning, to his credit, you know, next time he came, things got a little bit easier for him. Things didn't terrify him. He understood, and he eventually really learned to love and have some great memories of some of our experiences, which was fantastic. And it wasn't his fault that he didn't have that perspective. And I imagine if you had plucked me out and put into his environment, I would have felt just as uncomfortable. So it's really important to go, okay, you've got three kids here in the same situation, co-creating the same reality, and yet all three of us saw things from a completely different perspective. And as an adult, I feel like it's important for us to remember that everyday conversations that we might have, the person that we're talking to might be looking and seeing and observing the same thing we are, but they're coming at it from a completely different perspective. And appreciating that is really goes a long way for us to be able to connect. I would say some of the things that we probably learned, besides the whole supporting each other and solving our own problems and having common sense, because if you didn't have common sense, then you would pretty much get injured, would also be things like conflict resolution. I mean, if we were playing with the neighborhood kids, and there were always conflicts, just constantly conflicts, and you just had to sort it out. You didn't have a lawnmower parent come in and mow everything down out of their path. We didn't have helicopter parents that hovered around us, and just in case one of us got hurt, we had to sort out our own conflict resolution. And that was another opportunity, which was a really good skill set that really shaped my brother and I and who we are today, I feel. It was amazing living the learning. So I did want to actually bring that up. And then that sort of links to the fact that, you know, our brain is a little thing in our brain called a basal ganglia. And while it does a lot of different things, one of the things that it does is actually filter out things that are important to you. So, how can I explain this? If I give you an example, if you are pregnant for the very first time, all of a sudden, everywhere you go, you'll see pregnant women. And you'll think, how did I not notice all these pregnant women before? And it's because it wasn't important to you at the time, and your brain filtered it out because we're feeling and seeing and sensing so many different things. Our brain actually filters out what is not, you know, the seed that's not planted, and what's not important. So if you're going to buy a new car, all of a sudden you see that type of car everywhere you go. It's the same sort of thing with learning, and things that we're getting exposed to. And having a look at that perspective, because let's face it, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And oh my goodness gracious me, the last 5 years, I've certainly changed the way I look at things. I mean, the more I learn truths about our reality, and I'm expanding my awareness of just even who I am, what I am as a creator being. You can't unknow what you know. I mean, it's like that Fibonacci spiral. You're spiraling up, and you're expanding as you go and as you're learning. And when you know better, you pretty much do better. And that leads me to why I decided to create this show, because I chose that I wanted to co-create a world where everybody thrives and can live learning and have beautiful experiences. And I didn't want to be part of the problem. I didn't want to go into the default of seeing obstacles everywhere I went. And I really was in that space a few years ago where even though I loved my job and even though I loved what I was doing, all I could see were the problems. They were just pounding up, particularly in the education system of everywhere in the world, things were breaking down. And I thought, well, if I participate in that system, then really I am the system. We are the system. It's us. If we participate, then we are the system. And if I choose not to comply, and I really don't want that as a future for myself or my children or my grandchildren or the neighbor's children, or even the adults for that matter, then what can I actually do about that? And I don't think it's an accident that in the last 10 to 15 years, probably the last 5 years in general, the swing towards homeschooling and alternative education has been massive. And that's pretty much saying it all. People are searching and seeking to get back to the basics. I would really love to hear from people who are doing it, you know, living and learning that experience and sharing what it is they're doing and how they're navigating our world at the moment. Focusing from the heart, I guess. And then that brings me full circle to growing up with no internet, once again, because today we give our young children and put in their hands weapons, what I call weapons of mass distraction. Basically, just that distraction from life because they're scrolling, playing. You have hypnotic music and violent social engineering on some of the games that they might be playing or the television shows that they're watching. And it's literally rewiring their brains. That whole seduction of what they're consuming with the watching is time not spent using their imagination and being creators. So it's really that being a consumer versus being a creator. And it is something that I wanted to bring up today to say, is anyone else feeling like this? Is it just me? Like, seriously, is this just me? Am I going out on a limb here? Are we concerned? And a pivotal moment for me was actually a few years ago. There was a prep child. So for those people who aren't in Australia, prep is a child who's about 5 years old. It was a little girl, and she walked up to her teacher, and she had a book, and she was swiping the cover of the book, and she was saying to the teacher, "Mine's broken. Mine's broken," because she had never, 5 years old, never seen a book in her life. And that just made me cry because I spent my childhood with my head always in a book. Some of my best friends are books. I just loved the worlds that I could have from this book. And I felt devastated for this little girl that she had this book. And when I saw the teacher open the book, open the page, and she was shocked. Oh my gosh, the pages, what are this? And it was something so new to her. And that just hit me in the heart space of what are we doing? What are we doing? And how can we have a balance? Technology's great, but where do we have that balance? Because I feel like we're out of whack. And I'm talking to lots of people around the world, and they're all feeling and expressing the same thing. So what can we do about this? How can we be solution focused? How can we co-create this future? We know that words create our reality. We know that words are meaningless without action. So here I am, starting a radio station, wanting to share stories, wanting to hear from people I've never even heard of before, wanting to interview and talk and share and play so that we can inspire everybody, share ideas. And focus our energy on heart-centered education and getting back to living learning, because there is actually a lot of stuff going on in the world that is amazing, magnificent, delicious, admirable, remarkable, whatever word you want to use. There's some great stuff going on. And I would prefer to focus on that and learn about that because I've learned so much in the last few years. And co-creating our future is definitely the way that I want to go. So, if you're sitting in a car right now, or I don't know, wherever you happen to be, walking on the beach, maybe, wow, that would be cool. And you do want to get into contact, you can go to bbsradio.com and then you just do a search for the show. There's so many shows. I mean, BBS Radio is amazing. Thank you, Don and Doug, legends. And you can just search up for All Learning Reimagined, and then that's where you can access all of the recordings of the show, and you'll be able to get in contact with me if you're feeling inspired to do so. And if not, and you just want to tune in and listen to what people have to share and their everyday stories, then same time every single week, we will be doing this. I do have some education projects that I've been working on for quite a few years now, and I would like to unpack those. I don't have time today, but in the future, of course. And but one tiny little idea, I just want to plant the seed. And if you're doing this out there, oh my gosh, give me a shout out and let me know. And that's something called a bartering barn. So a bartering barn. My vision, one of my visions, is that every community, no matter how small the community, every school, every learning hub, every learning place, adults and children alike, have something called a bartering barn, a place where you can fix old bikes that are broken. You can collect the eggs from the chickens. You can learn how to make jam with the extra fruit that's on the fruit trees. You can create things in the tinker shed. You know, get the retirees in and teach the children again how to tinker around and make things and bring it to the bartering barn. And people can, no money as a means of exchange. People can come and share and swap and connect and not be a throwaway culture where we're just throwing things away in society. And teach children that you can repurpose things and you don't have to just throw things in the dump. And that And a sense of what things might actually be worth for them. So a bartering barn could be really fun and would be so easy to operate and a really great sense of the community coming together. And if you didn't have anything to barter, you might come and say, well, I'll weed the veggie garden for half an hour if I can have a dozen eggs. Yep, great, sure, barter. It would be up to people to decide what they have. And I would really love to see the bartering barns be run by children. Like they can set it up, they can run it, they can organize it. How much fun would that be? There would be so many life lessons that you could learn just in that one experience, I think. Pretty much. I don't know about you. And if anyone's out there already doing it, kudos to you. I'm happy dance. That's fantastic. And if you're not and you're thinking, ooh, that could possibly be something that we can do, then get on it, you know, get on it, get started. Don't need my permission, go for it, I say. Definitely. Okay, I'm looking at the time. Oh my giddy aunt, I can't believe I've talked for half an hour. Well, actually, I can. I could probably talk for 3 hours, but you'll get used to you'll get used to that, of course, knowing that I can talk. So basically, let me put a big fat bow and wrap this up. The message that I really wanted to say today is it time? Just reflect on your own life, and I'm not telling anyone what to do. It's just that reflection of, is it time to sometimes take a step back from technology and consider, are our children, or ourselves for that matter, consuming, 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 and not creating? What are we doing to create and getting in that play space? Are we living in the now? Are we living our learning? And that's pretty much all I've got time for this week. So pretty much thank you for joining me at All Learning Reimagined. And until next week, I want you to go on an adventure and keep learning from the heart. Consider your perspectives and the lens that you're looking through. Are you looking for opportunities or is it obstacles? Of course it's opportunities because you're here. BBS, it's amazing. Go explore, experience and express yourself. And I'll hand it back over to you, Don. Thank you, everybody. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this. The future of learning doesn't arrive from above, it begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious, stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass, because how we learn today is not just personal, it is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system, we are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.